Hey, welcome everybody. Really glad you're here this weekend. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, this is a really special weekend this weekend for a few different reasons. One reason is because our Reveal Vineyard family is joining us online. So let's welcome our Reveal Vineyard family. So glad you guys are with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And another reason this is a really special weekend is because we're starting a brand new sermon series this weekend, which I'll talk about in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to just mention our Easter services from last weekend. You know, last weekend, many of you did a great job inviting people at both of our campuses, the Reveal campus and the VC campus, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, all that. We had record numbers of people at both of our campuses, which is really good. But what was really great is the number of people who made public commitments at both campuses to begin to follow Jesus. At the Reveal campus, we had 30 people make public commitments to follow Jesus. And here at the VC campus, we had 228 people make public commitments to follow Jesus. So between the two campuses, we had 258 people make public commitments to follow Jesus. I mean, that's just yay God. Only God could do something like that. It's such an amazing, amazing weekend that we had. Now, I do want to say, if you're one of those 258, either at the Reveal campus or here at the VC campus, you have a next step coming up. And that next step is for you to be water baptized. We're going to both, at both campuses, we're going to have a water baptism on the weekend of May 19th. And your next step is to make sure you take our water baptism class. It's online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com. Make sure you do that. And then sign up at whatever campus you want to be water baptized at, whatever service you want to be water baptized. And we will be celebrating you being water baptized in just a little over a month from now. So make sure that you do that, all right? So let me ask you, do any of you ever find yourself in a situation where you really need wisdom? Now, I know those of you at Reveal don't need wisdom because you're filled with wisdom because of Pastor Marty's teaching over the years there. But the dummies here at VC, we need wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom. How about you parents? You ever found yourself in a situation where you felt like you really needed wisdom on what to do with one of your kids, or, you know, what to do as far as raising your kids the right way? Or those of you that are married, have you ever found yourself needing wisdom about how to do your marriage right? Or maybe your finances. You ever found yourself really needing wisdom on how to do your finances the right way? Or maybe how to manage your anger the right way? All of us, quite often, need wisdom, don't we? Well, the good news is, the book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. And we're going to begin a new study, out of the book of Proverbs, starting this weekend and going over the next several weeks. And as we study the book of Proverbs, it gives us all kinds of wisdom in those areas that I just mentioned, but also dozens and dozens and dozens of more areas. So in this series, I'm calling it The Pursuit of Wisdom, and I want to begin by reading you the first seven verses of chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. So if you have a Bible with you or you have an app, open it up to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 1. Let me just say to those of you who are backstage, would you please flip that over to the video camera for me so that I can see that, okay? Proverbs 1, starting in verse 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So for the next couple of months, all of us at both campuses are going to enroll in what I call God's School of Wisdom as we study the book of Proverbs together. Now, I kind of want to just do an overview of the book of Proverbs today. And the first thing I want you to know is the book of Proverbs is basically a book about wisdom. And the idea of wisdom in the Bible is not mainly about IQ. It's not really about information. I mean, in our day, we're overwhelmed with all kinds of information, aren't we? But we don't have a whole lot of wisdom. See, biblical wisdom is the ability to make right decisions. Biblical wisdom is very practical. Biblical wisdom is the ability to discern in my actual life what is the God-honoring right course of action to take. Now, in the Bible, being a fool is sort of the opposite of having wisdom. Being a fool in the Bible does not mean that I have low IQ. No, being a fool in the Bible is not primarily a problem of the mind. It's a problem of the will. See, being a fool or folly is rebellion against God. That's what folly is. Folly is moral depravity. Folly is spiritual blindness, and folly is also stupid because it can never get you what you're hoping for. So today, in this big picture overview of the book of Proverbs, I first of all want you to know that a good proverb is brief and pithy. A good proverb has deep insight into human nature, and it's expressed in a few unforgettable words that just sort of stick in your brain. And every culture produces a few minds capable of that kind of work. Now, in our day, these kinds of people mostly write country music. Let me give you a list of some titles of some country music songs. How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? It's brief, it's pithy, it has deep insight into human nature, and it's expressed in a few unforgettable words that just sort of stick in your brain, right? Let me give you a few more titles of country music songs. I've Got You on My Conscience, But At Least You're Off My Back. I Bought the Shoes That Are Walking Out on Me. And then my all-time favorite, Get Your Tongue Out of My Mouth, I'm Kissing You Goodbye. Brief, pithy, sticks in your brain, right? So in our day, people who have these kinds of minds, they're writing country music and they're making money. But in ancient times, people would write proverbs deliberately written to be catchy, and often they were quite visual. We're going to read a few of those today. I want to give you one first in Proverbs 11, verse 22. It says, a beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Now, this proverb is coaching people who might want to get married. And it's saying, if you end up marrying someone who has poor judgment and defective character, just because they're hot, just because they're physically attractive, means that you're not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. Now, this proverb is geared toward men because men in the ancient world would do that. Now, of course, in our day, no man would be that superficial or immature, right? I mean, no man today would be focused on a woman's physical appearance and not focused on deeper issues like character and judgment, right? But in ancient times, men, if you can believe it, would actually do that kind of thing. And so this proverb gets written about it. Now, for you and I to really benefit from Proverbs, it's crucial that we understand the kind of teaching that Proverbs is. Because when people don't understand that, they oftentimes get frustrated when they read the Proverbs. So there are three kinds of statements in Scripture. There are actually more than three. But for our purposes right now, I just want to talk about three kinds of statements. First of all, in the Bible, there are laws. Now, laws are commands that I'm always supposed to obey. Second kind of statement in the Bible, promises. A promise is a guarantee of what God will do, or a guarantee of what will happen if we do such and such. And then the third kind of statement in Scripture are proverbs. Now listen to this. A proverb is a catchy description about the way things generally are. That word generally is very, very important. It is not a guarantee. It's the way things generally are. So I'm going to give you a few statements out of the Bible, and I want you to tell me which category they fall in. So the first one is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, which category does that fall in? Is that a law? Is that a promise? Is that a proverb? Which one? Just say it out loud. That's a law, isn't it? Are there any exceptions to this? No. Everyone is to love the Lord your God with all their heart, all the time. Another statement. This one's from Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, which category is that in? Is that a law? Is that a promise? Is that a proverb? Which one? It's a promise. Are there any exceptions to that? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And by the way, isn't that great news? No matter what I've done, it can never separate me from the love of God. That's a promise. I can take that to the bank. And then look at this verse, Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now, which category does that fall in? Is that a law? Is that a promise? Is that a proverb? Just say it out. It's a proverb, right? We know that partly because it's in the book of Proverbs, right? But are there exceptions to this? Absolutely. Many times, people can be quite generous, and they might not be prosperous at all. They might be very poor. Remember, Proverbs are not guaranteed formulas for success in any area, in parenting, in finances, at your career, whatever. No, Proverbs are catchy descriptions that describe the way things generally are. Generally, the generous will prosper. Not always, but generally, that's the way that it works. Now, another important feature of Proverbs is that Proverbs are designed to force us to have to actually think about them. So the book of Proverbs is not a book that you can just sort of skim. Let me give you another example. Proverbs 24, do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. Now, what do you think this proverb is telling us? It's saying you need to get some money coming in from your job or from your business or from your work first, and then you'll have money to build or buy your house. Now, if I were going to write this proverb today, I might write something like, get a job before you get a Jaguar. Or get a good career before you get a Corvette. Now, after hearing that, now you know why I'm not writing country music, right? Now, another aspect of Proverbs that can confuse people is that sometimes they sound completely contradictory to one another. But you may have noticed that this is also true sometimes in our English Proverbs. Because in English, we say things like, look before you leap. It's kind of a proverb, right? And we also say, he who hesitates is lost. They contradict each other. Or we say, opposites attract. And we also say, birds of a feather flock together. They contradict each other. Or we say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And we also say, out of sight, what? Out of mind. They contradict each other, and it can get a little confusing for people. Well, you find the same thing in Proverbs. And probably the classic example is in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. Very straightforward, right? Verse 5. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they'll become wise in their own estimation. Those are completely contradictory, aren't they? And notice it's one verse right after the other. Well, we need to understand that every proverb addresses a limited slice of reality. And remember, proverbs are written for people to try to help them avoid folly, avoid being a fool. And people can err in opposite directions in just about any choice, right? So which proverb I need depends on my own weaknesses, my own patterns of thought, my own behavior. So for example, we say, look before you leap. And we also say, he who hesitates is lost. Let me ask you by a show of hands. How many of you tend to be leapers? You tend to, you know, be impulsive. And you jump into action sometimes too quickly. Raise your hand up so we can see. Well, if that's you, then you need to look before you leap, right? On the other hand, how many of you tend to hesitate too long before you take action? Raise your hand. Those of you at Reveal, make sure Marty, they're playing along, all right? How many of you tend to wait too long to take action? How many of you need some more time to think about that question before you actually raise your hand? He who hesitates is lost. That's one for you, right? So here's the point. Benefiting from Proverbs requires using them with discernment. See, they're partly designed by God to help us grow mentally, morally, spiritually. Now, you might be thinking something like, well, Brian, why do we need an entire book full of Proverbs? For a very important theological reason. And that theological reason is this. You might want to write this down. It's because people are stupid. That's why. Now, that's not the whole truth about us as people, but it's part of the truth about us, isn't it? We keep doing stupid things that we know will destroy us. I mean, real smart people keep doing things they know will destroy them. I mean, ask an alcoholic this question. Do you think your chronic addictive drinking is a good long-term bet to produce a worthwhile life? They know it's not, but they keep doing it anyway. Or you ask a hot-tempered person this. Do you think your strategy of just sort of letting it fly whenever you get mad will really help you pursue the kind of relational intimacy that you long for? They know it won't, but they keep doing it. Ask any overcommitted person. Is your hurried, frenzied, exhausting lifestyle really producing inside of you the rivers of living water that Jesus would be available to those who follow him. We know they won't, but we keep living that way. See, we need to realize, among other things, sin is folly. Sin is foolishness. Among other things, sin is foolishness. And it's so important in our spiritual growth and in our spiritual transformation for us to come to see that sin is folly. And we also need to see that God does not forbid sin because he's a killjoy, or because he wants to prevent us from experiencing fun or pleasure or power. No, God forbids sin because it's inevitably destructive. Among other things, sin is stupid. It's folly. And that's a big part of what Proverbs teaches us. See, they were written to help us with God's power to turn from the folly of our sin. And we all engage in the folly of our sins in unique ways. So we each need wisdom that's designed specifically to help us. So that's why there's an entire book filled with Proverbs. So in the time that's left, I just want to walk through a few Proverbs and have us look at the wisdom that's found in this book. I want everybody at both campuses to begin to get a taste for it, to begin to get hungry for it, and then look at how we can apply that kind of wisdom to our lives. And while we're doing this, you may come upon a proverb this weekend as we're studying this that really applies to your life right now. And it's a proverb that you need to really live with for the rest of this upcoming week. And you may want to even begin to memorize it. You know, a couple decades ago, maybe 25 years ago, I made a goal that I was going to memorize at least one verse out of every one of the 31 Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. I was going to memorize at least one verse out of every chapter. And so I did that, and it helped me so much that I began to go back and memorize multiple verses out of just about every chapter in the book of Proverbs, and they have helped me in my walk with God immensely over the years. So memorizing Proverbs is a very, very wise thing to do. So the first proverb we're going to look at has to do with the human mouth. Everybody point to your human mouth, to our human mouth. Point to your mouth. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, this is an area that the person sitting next to me really needs to hear about. So make sure that the person next to you is paying attention, all right? You at Reveal. Make sure that they're paying attention. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When there are many words, transgression or sin is unavoidable. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Look at that first part again. When there are many words, transgression, or you could say sin, is unavoidable. Now, first of all, that is profoundly true, isn't it? So, the simplest way for you and I to cut down on sin in our life, transgression in our life, if that's what we're trying to do, the writer of this proverb would say to us, you just need to stop talking so much. It's almost like the writer saying, there's a clear correlation between the number of words that you say and the amount of sin in your life. So we're going to do a little quick calculation. Let's pretend that you average 10,000 words a day. You speak 10,000 words a day, and that amount of words is going to lead you to commit a certain amount of sins. I don't know how many, but there's a Christian author, a psychologist by the name of William Backus, and he's written a book called Telling Each Other the Truth. And he cites a study that indicates that the average person tells 200 lies per day. 200, what he calls acts of deceit, either through body language or words or something like that. Now, don't try to guess if the person sitting next to you is over 200 or under 200. You know, that's just the average, all right? And by the way, that's just lies. And then you add to that insults, flattery, manipulation, intimidation, all kinds of stuff. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, if you use 10,000 words a day, that would translate into 1,000 sins. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that there's a ratio of 10 to 1 between words and sins. Every 10 words means I would commit one sin. Remember, the writer says when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. So let's pretend that you were able to cut down your words from 10,000 words a day to 2,000 words a day. Now, that's 5 times less words, 10,000 to 2,000. Now, for those of you who are good at math, and by the way, for those of you at Reveal, I used to be Marty's math teacher. He was not good at math, so don't let him do this. But if you're good at math, and you cut down from 5 times as much, then how many sins would you be down to from 1,000 if you cut down 5 times as much? You'd be down to 200 sins a day, right? 200 sins a day from 1,000 sins. That's a big reduction, isn't it? And then let's say that you could cut down the amount of words you've spoken a day down to 9 words or less in a day. You know what that means? That would mean that you wouldn't sin the entire day, because the ratio is 10 to 1, right? You'd be under that ratio. Some of you are like, back on the math thing, you're like, I don't get this. Now, I want you to know, we sort of think that's a funny thing, but in the early church, there were people known as desert fathers, and they were deeply devoted to being transformed into the image of Christ. And they strongly recommended that if somebody really wanted to follow Jesus, one of the most important spiritual disciplines that they needed to engage in was the spiritual discipline of silence. The spiritual discipline, let's put on the video screen, please. The spiritual discipline of silence. They would encourage people to get away for a few hours or a day or a few days and be alone with God and not use any words. You know, we don't talk much about the spiritual discipline of silence these days. But historically, silence was understood to be one of the most important spiritual disciplines. Why? Because of the difficulty that human beings have in breaking the power of the tongue. And these desert fathers said that the number one reason why it's so important to practice silence is because it's so hard to speak without sinning. And that's really true, isn't it? I mean, when you look at human behavior, just look at the way that we talk. People will say things, and oftentimes by what we say, we try to manage the way that other people think about us. For example, people will say things like, well, you know, I was watching TV last night, and then almost immediately they say, I don't usually watch TV. Why do people say that? Why do I sometimes say that? Because I'm trying to manage the way that you think about me. I don't want you to think that I'm somebody who just goes home every night and lays out on the lazy boy eating potato chips and watches TV all night. No, I want you to think about me as a godly, intelligent, you know, kind of person like that who's bright. So without even thinking about it, I say, well, I hardly ever watch TV, because I'm trying to manage other people's impression of me. And Jesus said, your idle words, will condemn you. And what he's talking about are those casual, unguarded moments when we just say something and the state of our soul is revealed. So the writer of Proverbs says, sometimes you need to observe silence, because when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. And you know what? When you actually begin to live out this proverb, amazing things begin to happen. You begin to learn that you can live without always having to have the last word. And isn't that great? You begin to learn that you can live without trying to make sure that you try to control how other people think about you by the way you speak. You begin to learn that you can live without having to win every argument. It's incredibly freeing. So without a show of hands, let me just ask you, is this a proverb that you need to live with this upcoming week? Maybe you need to memorize it. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Look at this verse, Proverbs 10:25. When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. I'll tell you how immersed Jesus was in the book of Proverbs. Which parable does Jesus tell us in the New Testament that reminds you of this proverb? It's out of Matthew 7, isn't it? It's the parable of the house that's built on the rock and the house that's built on the sand. The storm comes, Jesus says, and the house that's built on the sand gets washed away. But the house built on the rock stands firm. And unfortunately, some of you are in a storm right now. Maybe you're in a marital storm. Maybe you're in a health storm. Maybe a financial storm. Maybe a storm with one of your kids. And some days, you may even wonder if you're going to be able to make it through this storm. I want you to know, if that's you, this is your proverb. This is what you came to hear. Because God is saying to you through me, God is saying to you, keep doing the right thing. No matter what kind of storm you're in, keep doing the right thing, because the godly have a lasting foundation. God is saying, don't give up, don't quit, don't let go. No matter how bad the storm is, it will be over one day. Maybe in this life, maybe in the next, but it will be over one day, and you will be standing, because the godly have a lasting foundation. Look at this proverb. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Let me ask you, do you love to be corrected? Do you love to be disciplined? Do you love to be reproved? You know, I think most of us don't love that, at least initially, right? But if we come to the place in our life where we really love knowledge, and we really love spiritual growth, and we really love God more than anything else, then we can learn to love discipline and love correction and love reproof. In fact, look at number one. Whenever God sends any kind of discipline our way, even through imperfect vessels, and by the way, that's the way discipline always comes, it's always because God loves us. And so you know what that means? It means that I don't have to be afraid of discipline, because discipline is always for my good. So maybe this is the proverb that's for you. Look at this proverb. A quarrelsome or a nagging wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Now you may wonder, does this apply equally to husbands? And of course the answer is, of course not. It does not. It's just for wives. It's right here in the Bible, all right? No, Proverbs obviously are for both genders. I mean, Proverbs are probably written originally for young men who are going into training to probably serve in the court of the king and in Solomon's court. But it's in Scripture because it applies to everyone. It's universal wisdom. So this is for both husbands and wives. A quarrelsome or a nagging spouse is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Let me ask those of you who are married, not by a show of hands, do you ever nag your spouse? Are you like a constant dripping on a rainy day? We sort of snicker about that, but you know what? Maybe God is trying to speak to you about that in your marriage. Proverbs 19, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. You know what this is saying? Be kind and gracious to the poor, because when you are, you're actually lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. You know, maybe this is the proverb that you need to hear. You know, maybe your actions on behalf of the poor really haven't been very much. Maybe you didn't know they were supposed to be. So maybe God is speaking to you about this. But I do want you to know, whichever campus you attend, if you give financially to the Vineyard, you're helping the poor. Because there's a percentage at both of our campuses of the money that comes in that goes directly to minister to the poor through our compassion ministries at both campuses, through our food bank, our clothes ministry. You know, here at this campus, we have a free medical clinic, we have a free legal clinic, all that kind of stuff. So when you give financially at either campus, you are helping the poor. I want to look at one last scripture. This one's from the New Testament. Paul says in Colossians 2, in him, in Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Underline the word wisdom. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus. So ultimately, Jesus is our teacher as we enroll in God's school of wisdom together. Because what we need is not just more principles about wisdom. No, what we need is power and love. And that means we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why what so many of you did last weekend is so, so important. And so Jesus is going to be our teacher in this series. And I believe that we're going to learn a whole lot through this series. So I want to challenge every one of you at either campus to make a commitment that you're going to be here for this series out of the book of Proverbs. Because if you do, I think that you're going to gain a whole lot of wisdom in all kinds of areas of your life. In fact, before we go, real fast, turn to the person next to you and say to them, you're getting wiser already. All right? Say it to them. You're getting wiser already. Would you pray with me? Lord, our desire really is to become wise people. God, we don't want to be people filled with folly, filled with foolishness. God, we want to be wise people, and we know that the book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. And over these next several weeks, God, as we study your word in the book of Proverbs, I pray that you'd speak very clearly to each one of us and help us to begin to apply wisdom to the different areas of our life that we need wisdom in. And Holy Spirit, right now, would you just bring to mind any of the scriptures that we've talked about today to each person of what they need to really live with this upcoming week. In fact, what they may even need to memorize, whether it's when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, or whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, or constant dripping on a rainy day is like a leaking faucet, or about the poor, one is gracious to the poor, lend to the Lord. Help us live with those verses this week, God. And I know that there are probably some of you who are in the middle of a storm right now. Health storm, financial storm, marital storm, I don't know. When the storms of life come, God wants us to have a firm foundation And one of the best things that we can do when we have storms is to receive prayer. And so I would encourage you, whatever campus you're on, here or there, that you would receive prayer if you're going through some kind of a storm right now. Let some ministry team members lay their hands on you. Pray for God's strength, God's wisdom. I'm going to release the rest of the ministry time at the Reveal campus over to Pastor Marty.